Clubhouse recruited Black people to its social network. Does it now owe them for its success? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Clubhouse is an invite-only audio app that came out last spring with a very small community of, at the time, mostly Silicon Valley techie people in it talking about mostly tech-related stuff. Now, the app has 10 million active users on a weekly basis and a valuation of about $1 billion. And although there's been a lot of buzz about SpaceX's CEO Elon Musk going on the platform or Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, many of the people who have driven Clubhouse's growth have been Black influencers, musicians, and comedians. Ania Williams is a principal on the Responsible Technology team at Omidyar Network, which, we should note, is a marketplace underwriter.
You know, this convergence of cool people, exclusivity, and celebrities all being on this thing just really has had it explode. And then when you combine that with just the very kind of, like, Black culture, like, I just think that there's something that's very oral about Black culture and how Black people communicate with each other. So it just is, I think, a real natural fit.
Okay, so now here we are in the present. What's happening with the platform now? What are the growing pains?
Oh, man. It's interesting because, I mean, it's so funny, too, because it feels a little bit odd because I'm like, I don't work at Clubhouse. I'm not getting paid any commission on this. And I think I have, you know, both positive and not so positive, like, thoughts about Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. I would also say from my time working at a company that made a social networking app, like, if you put humans on a platform together to communicate with each other, you are inevitably going to get some of the dregs of humanity as well. And just in terms of how people interact with each other, obviously that looks a little bit different than what you're going to see on, like, a Facebook or a Twitter because it's audio based. But also just the way in which people have access to each other, you know, they're kind of having that fresh slate of a social network for some people means that, you know, people that they have blocked on other social channels now have access to them. Not only do they have access to them, but in what feels like a very intimate medium of communication, voice, and that they could pop up in any room that that person might be in. So there's just a lot there. I think also moderation has played a really important role. I think that has been true since the very beginning, but it definitely remains true now that a good moderator or a set of moderators in a room kind of makes or breaks the experience. And they also tend to be, you know, the enforcers of what is acceptable and unacceptable in that space. And so it really, like, depends on the moment, the room, the moderation, in terms of what kind of experience you're going to get. And so because there's so many different people with all kinds of different levels of experience, like, in the beginning when it was small, there was a culture around, like, a communal culture that Clubhouse had in those early days. There was a very active, like, group of people who would be there to onboard you. There was a whole experience. There was actually a whole, like, a Notion instance, like an actual, you know, kind of like a wiki online that had, like, pro tips, like, oh, you just joined Clubhouse. Here's what you should know. These are things we do. This is how you, like, you know, like, just all the things so you could just kind of be in the know, like, when you came in and know how things work around there. And then when it kind of blew up, it all of that sort of started to dissolve and devolve into all the shenanigans we see on typical social media. And it changed the experience a lot. So, you know, you can still really have some amazing moments there. But if I'm being completely honest, the best conversations I have now are not the rooms that have 5,000 people in it. It's the rooms that have less than, like, 20. maybe a room with a few hundred people when you have some really good, interesting conversation happening with the people who are on stage. But really, like, the best conversations are very small groups in my experience.
As Clubhouse grows and has sort of gotten this reputation for having had that growth be driven by Black creators and hosts and moderators, there is this conversation about whether there should be remuneration, whether there should be payment. Where do you come down on that?
Yeah, this is a very, like, hot topic with the Black community.
Yep.
We also have to recognize the moment too, right? We see all of the conversation around us socially and like the push for racial and social justice. I would say that, like, that being very top of mind for people, I think also really makes it like the obvious next question about, well, who's benefiting from this? When we think about, you know, a lot of other social networks and how Black users have really kind of been the thing that helped it spark, and everyone kind of seems to make profits off of Black culture except for Black people. And that's like a really common undertone to the conversation. Mm-hmm. But then when I put my Silicon Valley hat on, I'm like, they're not in the business of like, oh, how do we bring a community together? They're in the $1 billion of money making business. And so like, I think when it comes to that, there's a question about, you know, what could Clubhouse do to allow the crowd to also become investors in the app if they want to have some skin in the game? The other thing that I would raise, because one of the other hats that I get to wear is being a co-founder of an organization called Zebras Unite, and we're pushing on more ethical, sustainable solutions around the startup ecosystem, in particular around capital, community, and culture. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we have kind of been a part of helping to shape is this idea of exit to community. And that really kind of speaks to kind of having that concentration of power and profits with just a handful of people become something that gets expanded to a broader group of stakeholders. And that can be lots of different things. But I say that to say that, like, one of the other things that could happen is, like, you know, a critical mass of people in the Black community could pool their money together and they could buy Clubhouse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they can get those investors their returns. And if they think there's more money to be made here, they could buy it and they could own it and they could reap all the benefits from what Clubhouse does in the future. And they could have more of a say in terms of how it gets built and where it goes. So that's kind of, I think, a more productive conversation to have. Mm-hmm. I just know that, you know, the way that the world works today, at least, that the conversation of like, we showed up and we're using it, therefore we should make some money off of it, is like not going to be a thing. Like, you'll definitely be able to use it as a platform to use your brand on it, just like you do Twitter or Instagram or any of those other things. But that's where I think it's an interesting conversation. And I think there are valid arguments, but it's a business. It's a business.
And it seems like it's largely a conversation about what direction this app could take or what direction a future app could take. But at least we're acknowledging that, like, historically, Black contributions online have either been erased or appropriated or turned into Fortnite dances. And so at least we're talking about credit in a real way.
Absolutely. And I think it's also really kind of exciting in a way that, like, this is an active part of the conversation, because the progress I hope that we will see is the, like, power being built up by the Black community, where we actually do get to own our own culture and it doesn't get to just be co-opted or extracted by someone else who gets to, like, put it in a insert company here commercial for the Super Bowl.
And then I feel like before I let you go, I should point out that Clubhouse seems to have done better after intense criticism than some other platforms at building a diverse user base, but it's not accessible, right? You can only use it if you can hear.
If you can hear, if you have an iPhone, if you if you have internet access. Yeah, like, I think there's so much there too, right? And I'm like, I don't know how the founders feel about this. I never really kind of asked them. And actually, they do still have these weekly town halls on Clubhouse to listen to what the community thinks. And they have chosen some things and listened and implemented. There are some things that they haven't, but, you know, the decision is in their hands. I would say that, I don't know, the accessibility thing is a real issue. And I'm not also trying to make any excuses for the Clubhouse makers, but this is an issue across the tech industry in general. Like, just too rarely are we designing new products with the constraint of accessibility from the very beginning. It just all too often is an afterthought, and it's just not okay. It's not okay. There are people who also need to be here and in here. But as it relates to Clubhouse, I think that it's just kind of kept that air of exclusivity, as I feel like part of its marketing tactic is, like, we want to make FOMO, the fear of missing out for people who don't know what FOMO is. Yeah. And, like, that's going to make people, like, want to be here and feel lucky to be here. And I mean, I guess it works, you know?
Ania Williams is a principal on the responsible technology team at Omidyar Network. Last month, Clubhouse did announce a grant program to pay some creators on the platform. And now for some related links. There's more reading about this creator fund that Clubhouse announced over at marketplacetech.org. It's part of a new funding round the company raised last month, where it also said it will help creators on the platform get paid in other ways too, like subscriptions, tips, and ticket sales, according to TechCrunch. As for some of those other issues Anea Williams mentioned, Clubhouse is working on an Android app, but there's still no word on captions for those who are hard of hearing or other accessibility features. There is also a link at our page to a story we did recently about Twitter's Spaces feature, which is basically voice-only chat like Clubhouse, but it will be captioned because Twitter got in trouble when it announced voice-only tweets that people pointed out were inaccessible. There's also a good story in Reuters about the new difficulties in moderating live audio formats like Spaces and Clubhouse and, of course, whatever Facebook is building to copy everybody else. Most moderation tools are built for text. It's not that feasible to have a human moderator in every single room happening on these apps. And very few platforms are recording audio for later review, and users probably wouldn't want them to anyway. Reuters reports that Mark Cuban's upcoming Clubhouse competitor, Fireside, will be curated on purpose to hopefully avoid such issues. And there's a bit of a gold rush to figure out a tech solution, like some kind of combination of real-time transcribing and flagging offensive content. In the meantime, it seems like name and shame on Twitter is the only consistent moderation strategy for when things get out of hand on Clubhouse. Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produced the show. Our engineers are Robin Edgar and Becca Weinman. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.